This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Yes, good evening. That Sports Show, Joy 94.9, with Mal, your host, in the chair tonight. Stu's in Sydney, so I'm flying solo. And I've got a big show for you tonight. In news of the week, we're going to be talking about tennis, and we're going to be talking about golf and cricket, rugby union, soccer or football, sports awards and motorsport and horse racing. And our special guest in the studio tonight is David McAuliffe, who is the president of GLOBE, the Gay and Lesbian Organisation of Business Enterprise, and he'll be talking to us about the nominees for Sports Person of the Year after we deal with news of the week. So joining me to talk news of the week is Anna, who is on the line. Are you there, Anna?
Happy to join the fabulous Mal as always.
Thank you, Anna. That's good. And we've got David in the studio. And David, I'm going to turn your mic on so you can join in if you wish, okay?
Thank you.
Yes, that's right. Hello, David.
Hello, Mal.
Hi, David.
Hello, Anna.
Hello, Anna. Yes, good. So first thing we're going to be talking about is tennis. And I'm just going to play a little media grab, Anna, and I'll see if you appreciate this.
How you solve a problem like Maria? How you catch a cloud and pin it down? How you find a word that means Maria?
A flippity jibbit, a will o' the wisp,
a clown.
Right, now, Anna, do you guess what we're going to be talking about first up?
Oh, I think the fact that Sharapova's doping ban's been reduced from 2 years to 15 months, meaning she can come back in April and play at the French Open next year.
That's right, Anna. That's right. You're spot on. Now, Maria's ban, of course, has been reduced, and the talk now is, how will she be treated on the tour? Will she be straight into tournaments? And do you know what? She won't have a ranking. And will she play in a really small tournament somewhere, or will she get wild cards? And the answer is she'll get wild cards, because Maria means bums on seats, which means dollars, which means profits for the tournament. So she'll be watched and she'll be booed, but she'll be welcomed back on the tennis tour.
Only by the money people, I think.
Yes,
judging
I think.
Judging by some of the things that some of the other people on the tour said about her after the ban,
yes.
I don't think she was exactly the most popular lady in the locker room.
No, that's right. David, what do you think on Maria?
I don't think she's going to be very popular after that. But I'm not sure what locker room talk is like in the female locker rooms. But yeah, I don't think she's going to. I think it might be a little bit more bitchy than the men's one.
Well, that's right. And look, she never spoke to anyone in the locker rooms apparently anyway. So they're not going to speak back to her. So look, I say good luck. She's served her ban, and good luck to her. I'm sure she's in hard training. So that follows. That's our first story. And following on from that is, of course, that Aussie Nick Kyrgios won his biggest tournament to date in Japan, in the Japan Open on the weekend, beating Belgium's David Goffin in three sets, 4-6, 6-3, 7-5. And that follows his two earlier wins this year in Marseille and Atlanta. So he's up at a career high ranking of number 14, Anna.
Yes, and David Goffin is actually ranked number 12, so that's a good win from Kyrgios.
Yes.
And it's also an ATP Masters 500 series.
Yes.
So it's a big level tournament.
Yes, so not bad. What do you think of Nick Kyrgios, David?
I'm just amazed that he's in the news for something that's not controversial.
That's right. I don't like the bad behaviour, but I applaud the good tennis.
Exactly, and good to see that he's back in the news for good stuff now.
Yeah, well, let's hope he improves.
Yeah.
Now,
but Radvanska's Trophy was cooler looking.
Yes. Now, Agnieszka Radwańska won the tournament in Beijing, China, and beat Joanna Konta, born in Australia but represents Great Britain. And by making it to the final there, Konta made the top 10 and is the first British woman since Jo Drury in 1984 to be in the top 10. So that's pretty amazing. 2 years ago, she was ranked 280-something. She's now number 9 in the world. Well done to her. And also in Beijing, Andy Murray beat Gregor Dimitrov from Bulgaria. And the rankings released show that Djokovic is number 1, Novak Djokovic, and Andy Murray is number 2. And for the first time in 7 years, there is no big four because Rafael Nadal's number 5 and Roger Federer's number 7. So it could be the end for them.
Well, who are the others? Who are between 3 and 7 then?
Number 3 is Stan Wawrinka. Number 4 is Kei Nishikori. Number 5 is Nadal. Number 6 is Milos Raonic. And number 7 is Federer. So there you go. Ooh. Interesting. Now, moving on from tennis, as we come to the end of the season with tennis, there'll be more to talk about. Golf. Now, why do we still care about an ageing golfing star's comeback? Why is that, Anna?
Because he's Tiger Woods.
Correct. It's Tiger Woods. Now, Tiger Woods wants to come back because he's only 41 and he wants to try and catch the record of number of majors won. He's won 14 and the record is Jack Nicklaus's 18. So, look, if he gets some good form in his 40s, who knows? And he also wants to try and catch the record number of tournaments won. He's won 79 and Sam Snead won 82. So he's got two incentives to come back, but he was entered in a tournament.
He was just withdrawn from the first tournament that he was going to play in.
That's right, Anna. A small one in Napa, California. So we'll see what happens. But look, I wish him well. He just needs to keep his zip closed. What? David, what do you think of Tiger Woods?
Tiger, the same. I don't follow golf too much, I have to say. I did hear an interesting bit of news, though, about golf in the last couple of weeks about sports clubs or golf clubs actually losing a lot of membership from young people because they were saying, this news report was saying that people don't have 8 hours in their day anymore to take out to go and play golf. So the numbers of, I think it was something drastic like memberships were down by about 30-40% in young people.
I saw that. And yes, because they've only got a window of an hour or so here or there. They don't have 3 or 4 hours to play golf.
Yeah.
And also the costs of playing at golf courses is too much. And so, yes, golf is losing out.
It is.
So they're more into pursuits that don't take so long.
Exactly, like mini golf.
Mini golf. Very
like
good.
Like the shortened versions of tennis and the shortened versions of cricket.
That's right. Okay, so moving on from golf. Now, next sport, Anna, is cricket. Now, the Australians have been losing in South Africa, so we're not going to talk much about that, apart from the pressure that is on the captain, Steve Smith. I don't think he's going to lose his head. It's just they're going through a bad patch and renewal, I think. With their bowling talent, he's not very good at the moment. But the batters are...
Well, the good thing is that Peter Siddle's back. He's playing for Victoria in the Matador Cup, and he hasn't played for 8 months.
Oh, that's good.
James Pattinson's on the comeback trail, another Victorian.
Yes.
But Siddle has 61 tests to his name. So
right.
He is somebody who's hoping to be available in the third test of the series against South Africa. And boy, do we need someone in South Africa because... Oh, my goodness. Tonight, in about 2.5 hours' time, the fifth one-day international starts and we're looking down the barrel of a 5-0 series defeat.
That's right. Now, that was just an intro, Anna, to the inquest into Phil Hughes's death on the cricket pitch. And it's been quite intense because the cricket players, you know, they're just out there to play cricket and, you know, the bowler who bowled at Phil Hughes, there was no malice meant. It just was a freak bouncer that got him in the head. And then at the inquest, they're trying to say they were aiming at him and trying to do body line and all that sort of stuff. And
there was a plan adopted by New South Wales, admitted by the coach at the time, that was to bowl short to Phil Hughes and to put on the pressure. And if you bowl short at anybody, it does put pressure on them, unless pretty much you, Sachin Tendulkar, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
But and it is a normal tactic to, which this time, tragically,
yeah,
went wrong.
Yes, because Anna, they're not aiming at their heads. They're not basically getting the cricket ball and throwing it at their heads. They're bowling a proper ball down on the pitch, and it's short so that they maybe hook it and get caught in the deep. But instead, this one got him in the helmet. So it was just bad luck. And so they're really going into it at the moment, this inquest with Phil Hughes.
The family are very much trying to find someone to blame for the death.
That's right.
They actually want... They have a senior counsel present at the inquest who is actually asking questions on behalf of the family.
Yeah.
And I think that's very tough for the inquest because the umpire, one of the two umpires in the match, is actually a former stalwart of the University Cricket Club in Hobart, with whom I am actually acquainted.
Right.
And he claims that he can only recall one sledge, banter from one player to another about their weight.
Yeah.
I personally, knowing that the person concerned would sprinkle quite a lot of salt over that statement.
No, that's right. Mm. It's all part of the game. It's like, you know, they give sledges like your mother's ugly or something. Or these days they say something like I slept with your mother or something. You know, things like that to try and put people off their game. I'm not into sledging. I don't believe that's good. Anyway, we'll move on from that, Anna. We're going to talk rugby now. We talked about the Wallabies last week having lost in South Africa, but they were heading over to play the Pumas, Argentina. And they beat the Argentines in London.
They played very well.
33-21 in a gutsy win in front of a large crowd at Twickenham of 48,515. It's just quite strange because England weren't playing, but Australia and Argentina were playing, and it was virtually a full house.
Well, really interestingly, given the history between England and Argentina...
Yes.
Maggie Thatcher.
Yes, Anna.
England rugby fans apparently couldn't buy Pumas jerseys quick enough when they came down to Watford.
Yeah.
Because,
they want to beat the Australians.
Used to play for Nottingham, and he said, oh, yes, we were all going for the Puma.
Yeah, the Puma. Very good, Anna. In our town here last night, David, the Australian Socceroos played Japan to qualify for the World Cup.
Yes.
And it was at the MCG, and it was a 1-1 draw. Luckily, we hadn't beaten Japan in a long time. And the coach, Ange Postecoglou, said that the Socceroos wasted a good 45 minutes in that game and let through a soft early goal. So he wasn't happy with their performance, but they still managed to scrape out a draw. So that was very lucky. But they're still on top
of... Saudi Arabia took full advantage of the draw.
Yes.
And beat the UAE 3-0 to go to the top of the group.
Oh, they're at top of the group. Yes. Saudi Arabia are our competition in that group, I'd say.
Yeah.
I think they're stronger than Japan even, I think. But we'll see what happens when we play Japan in Japan. But when we play...
Currently in Group B, the Saudis are top of the group with 10 points, ahead of the Socceroos on 8 and Japan on 7. And even the UAE are still very much in contention. They've got 6 points.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens when they all come and play here, though, you know. So it'd be interesting to see Saudis play here. You know, they played well at home, but we'll see how they play here. Anyway, moving on from the Socceroos to the Pride Football Australia that was held in Sydney recently. We had Heath from the Melbourne Rovers on the show the other week, and congratulations to the Melbourne Rovers. They actually regained the Justin Fashanel Cup in a nail-biting match with the Sydney Rangers. They beat them in a penalty shootout after it was won all at full time. So Heath Wilson, that's who we had on the show, praised the men's team for their performance against such skilled competitors. But the win was amazing for the club. And so he's very proud of them, and that is such a great result. Now, the Sydney Flying Bats...
I wonder, does the Fashanu family know that this award has been named after Justin?
I'm not sure, but Anna, the Sydney Flying...
Do you know who Justin Fashanu was?
Yes, Anna, we've talked about that on the show. We know who that is. The Sydney Flying Bats won the Women's Julie Murray Cup. And I'm just trying to find what the score in that match was. I can't find that, but they won that match. So Sydney won one and Melbourne won the other. So that's a pretty good result.
A bit like the NRL and AFL Grand Final.
Yes, Anna. Exactly. Yes, that's right. So hopefully in due course one day, one of the Melbourne Rovers will be put up for the Sports Person of the Year Award.
Exactly. We need some of them because they do some good work, actually. And well done. So I'm always happy to see Melbourne beating out Sydney in something.
That's right. That's right. Maybe there could be something for a team category rather than a person category
in
the future.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of individuals in sport, but there's also a lot of teams.
Yeah.
There's no I in team, David. Now, moving on to some other awards, the Women in Sport Awards. Kim Brennan, the gold medalist in rowing in the single sculls, she was named Sportswoman of the Year at the awards. So that's amazing. Moment of the Year went to Chloe Esposito, who won the gold in the modern pentathlon. And Moment of the Year Reader's Choice went to Michelle Payne for winning the Melbourne Cup last year. Team of the Year was the Australian Women's Rugby Sevens. See, they've got team and individual. Yeah, and Leadership Legend went to Anna Mears from cycling. Fair Fighter went to Liesl Tesh, Paralympic sailor, and Ruan Sims from rugby. Local Heroine went to Josie Jans Dawson from netball. One to Watch went to Ella Nelson, 200-metre runner in the athletes.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
And the Outstanding Woman in Sport from the Australian Federal Government went to Michelle Payne. So the government and the people liked her. And finally, Hall of Fame went to Lane Beachley AO, former professional surfer. So amazing efforts at promoting women in sport. And we on That Sports Show certainly do that. Now, finally,
can we do a little bit of motorsport?
Very quickly, Anna, because we're running behind schedule tonight. Quickly give me a quick rundown on Bathurst.
Nico Rosberg won the Japanese Grand Prix to increase his Formula One championship lead.
Fantastic.
Over his teammate Lewis Hamilton.
Yep.
Ricciardo finished in sixth place.
Yep.
But Rosberg's team Mercedes clinched the Constructors' Championship.
Yep.
And all drama at Bathurst.
Yes.
Bathurst 1000, six-time supercar champion Jamie Whincup was lost victory due to a penalty being applied.
Oh, okay.
And now his team is protesting because he crossed the finish line first but was relegated to 11th after a 15-second penalty was added to his race time.
Yes,
it was triggered a crash 11 laps in the end that eliminated his main rival.
Yeah.
And so there's obviously something sinister going on there.
Well, Anna, quickly, that meant that the ones that came second and third, Will Davison from Holden and Shane Van Ginsbergen of Holden, they finished crossing the line within 0.01 of a second of each other to have the closest finish. And only 3 seconds behind were third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth and tenth. It was a very close.
So that's where the 15-second penalty is such a big penalty.
Yeah, pushed him down to 11th.
Normally, it would probably push you down to third or fourth at this time. And interestingly, the man who won it, Will Davison, is acting as best man to Jamie Whincup.
Well, there you go. Now, final story for News of the Week is that the Caulfield Cup is this Saturday and there's a likely field of about 20 horses. Well, they're running in the race.
Runners.
Yes, and so it's quite interesting, but favourites at this stage are Scottish Sir Isaac Newton, Articus, Jamaica, Real Love, and that's about it. Now, Jamaica, interestingly, is a dark horse, maybe a bay or a black horse or a dark brown horse, and Jamaica is the middle name of Serena Williams, and that's why she was named Jamaica. So watch out for her. And so we will give results of the Caulfield Cup next week.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is made possible with thanks to over 300 volunteers who work hard every day of the week to keep us out loud and proud on air and online. This week, we'd like to thank Ruby. Ruby is a presenter on two programs aired on Joy, The Informer and our first show with a focus on bisexuality, Triple Bypass, Tuesdays at 10 p.m. She works very hard each week to produce excellent and entertaining radio. She is an outstanding member of the team. From everyone at Joy, thank you, Ruby. To learn more about Joy volunteer vacancies, head to joy.org.au/volunteer. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station. You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9 with Mal in the seat tonight, Stu's in Sydney, and I've got with us in the studio David McAuliffe, the president of Globe, who is going to be talking to us about the nominees for Sportsperson of the Year Awards. So, David, you've enjoyed the first half of the show. Now we're to your bit. So tell me who the nominees are.
So nominees, so it's the John Marriott Sportsperson of the Year Award, and we've got three wonderful nominees this year. This year we've got Andrew Shibaras. I don't know if that's the way he says it. I'm saying it the Maltese way, because that's a Maltese name.
Like yours.
Yes.
I would have said Skabiros. Aussie Skabiros.
So he's also known as Disco from the Melbourne Surge.
Yes.
We have Todd Patrick from Glimmerhead Sharks. Mm-hmm. And Cassio Muniz Conclaves from Melbourne Spikers.
Fantastic. Now, tell me why those three made the cut. I'm sure you had other nominees, but tell me why those three made the cut.
So I'll tell you what we look for in the John Marriott Sportsperson of the Year. So there's the Sportsperson of the Year category. It's not just about, I guess, the capability in sport and who's won the most medals or who's kind of doing really well in sport. It's about, which is that theme that runs through the Globe Community Awards, which is around giving back to the community. Mm-hmm. So in the Sportsperson of the Year Award, we look for not only people who have achieved in sport, but people who also spend their time giving back to their club and giving back to the community as well.
Oh, okay. And so those three gentlemen, there's no women nominated?
No, there wasn't any. I'm trying to think if there was any women nominated at all.
Well, there should be. We were saying earlier we should have Sports Person of the Year, but maybe we should have Sportsman and Sportswomen. And that might mean that women will nominate themselves, but also Team of the Year.
Exactly. And I think there should be... teams have been nominated
For this category?
For other categories. So some of the other categories, like Connecting Our Community, which is around kind of anything that community groups do to bring the GLBT community together. Mm-hmm.
Team Melbourne.
Team Melbourne has nominated for that. Actually, is a finalist in the health category for their for
promotion of healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. So, there's quite a few different categories that teams can actually go go into. But this one is actually reserved as an individual award, so it's about recognizing people.
Yes,
and I guess the three. Three finalists that we have, so both Andrew, Todd and Cassio, I think the judges that looked at this category really found that these three people really kind of embodied that award in terms of both their ability in the sport, their contribution to their clubs, but their contribution to the community as well. Because the three of them, if you look past them, we've got some profiles of them going up on our website as well. The three of them have been quite active in their clubs, active in mentoring younger people through the sport as well. And Andrew, for example, was one of the founding members of Melbourne Surge.
Yes.
But all of them have had have really kind of contributed to, I guess, building people in their sports as well.
Mm-hmm. And the awards night is, remind me,
The awards
because I'm going.
You are going.
Yeah.
The awards night is coming up on Friday the 21st. So next Friday, going to be at the Maya Mural Hall. Mm-hmm. Again, it will be the last time that we'll be at Maya Mural Hall.
Have we outgrown it?
We have outgrown it.
That's what I would have thought, because it always sells out. And people want to go. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
How many does it seat?
So I have pushed it this year. I've pushed it to 390.
And what's it supposed to seat? Comfortably.
It's comfortably, well, we could have gone up a bit more, but we would have had to remove the dance floor.
No, we need the dance floor.
Yes, we need the dance floor.
But in previous years, what, you've had like 350 or 370?
In previous years, we've had 350.
Sure. Yeah. So you'll have to find a bigger venue.
Yes, yes.
Because everyone loves to go to it.
I know, and I could have easily fit another 30 people in.
Yeah.
I had so many requests and and so many bad gays leaving things to the last minute.
That's their fault. And I joined I'm on the Glamour Heads table. I'm a member of the Glamour Heads, so I'll be supporting Todd Patrick, and I'll see you there, David.
Yeah.
We'll have a good night, and hopefully whoever wins, we hopefully might get them on the show to talk about how they went and all that sort of stuff.
Exactly. I think it would be great to have them on the show, and yet we always get a really good following from the sports teams at the event. So I think there's about four tables.
Can you remember who they are briefly?
So we've definitely got Team Melbourne Spikers, and
Glamour Heads.
Actually, Spikers have done two tables.
Yep.
And the Laird is hosting a few other groups as well.
Okay.
On their table. So we've kind of put you all together in one spot so you can all catch up.
And so the Surge may be on the Laird table, is that
yes,
right? Okay.
Yes, Surge are on Laird table.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, David, thank you for joining us on That Sports Show tonight.
Thank you for having me.
That's all right. For staying for the whole show. And Anna, if you're still on the line, thank you for joining us tonight. And I'm sure I will talk to you soon, Anna. Bye for now.
I think this is a wonderful idea for an award because people need real role models are the people who help other ones coming up, not just performing at the highest themselves.
All right.
Exactly.
Thank you. And thank you, Anna. And I will talk to you all next week. That's been That Sports Show.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.